Second half of The Record continues here on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Steve Scher. 50 years ago, the urbanist Jane Jacobs praised the power of older, human-scale buildings. Jacobs believed these smaller structures make vibrant cities possible. There are plenty of forces arrayed against the aging buildings of this world. In our 21st century era of seismic codes, transit-oriented developments, and high-density apartment buildings, are Jane Jacobs' ideals outdated?
The National Trust for Historic Preservation wanted to find out the answer to that question, so they dug into data. Michael Poe is the senior research manager at the National Trust for Historic Preservation. He and his team spent more than a year mapping property records, business permits, and census data in San Francisco, Seattle, and Washington, D.C., all cities with a lot of older buildings, by the way, and a lot of demand for growth. Their findings are out now in a giant 100-page report. I asked Poe, when he was digging through all the data, what was the fundamental question he was trying to answer?
The fundamental question is, how do neighborhoods with older, smaller buildings compare to neighborhoods mostly comprised of larger, newer buildings on social, cultural, and economic lines?
And so do you have an answer to that?
Yeah, we found a lot of really strong evidence that says that older, smaller buildings matter, that the character and scale of buildings is really important.
What were some of the major things that qualitatively make a neighborhood more vibrant?
Well, I think having, distinctive small businesses, non-chain businesses, having a lot of business startups, but then also things like being really walkable, having a good mix of destinations within a short distance, having a lot of nightlife, just having a diversity of activity and opportunities for people of different backgrounds.
And you found a correlation between those factors and neighborhoods with older buildings.
We did. So, yeah, we looked at across the city of Seattle. We looked at San Francisco and Washington, D.C. as well. And we overlaid a 200-meter by 200-meter grid over these three cities. So
it was very detailed.
In Seattle, it looks like about 13,000 grid squares. And for each grid square, we used data from the county assessor to map out the age of buildings, the diversity of age of buildings, and the size of the buildings, the granularity of the building fabric. And then we took data from the census, from the state, from the county, from private websites, like our generous partners at WalkScore, also in Capitol Hill, and basically created 40 different measures of performance, of sort of vitality.
So these are qualitative measures. You've got objective numbers. Why is there a correlation between these older buildings and vibrant neighborhoods?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons. If you think about sort of thinking about ecosystems, if you have one large, employer in a city, you have a company town and that company goes out of business, that town will not weather the storm as well as a place that has a diverse mix of different kinds of industries, different kinds of businesses. So I think that's part of it. I think the smaller fabric, these small buildings and narrow sort of facades make for a really walkable environment, and where people are out walking, that tends to – walking begets walking. People beget people. And so it sort of starts to have a life of its own. And then also going back to Jane Jacobs, I think small businesses and small buildings are natural partners. And we see more local ownership of buildings, of smaller buildings compared to newer buildings. The sort of investment that goes into newer buildings requires often that you have chain businesses. You have businesses that have longer lines of credit and a longer lease, sort of more difficult terms. And you can take chances with these local businesses and smaller buildings, for diverse kinds of opportunities. So one interesting finding is, if you'll hear me out. So one, I think the most exciting thing from this study, the single greatest, punchiest message, in blocks of Seattle that have older, smaller, mixed vintage buildings, you see more than twice the rate of women and minority business ownership than in blocks of newer, larger buildings.
Why?
Well, I think that it goes back to this local ownership. It goes back to this idea that you can take chances, you can subdivide. And I think it actually reflects local building owners trying to find great, exciting businesses, local businesses to move in.
Seattle, last week, we heard from new census data, we're the fastest growing city in America.
Right.
People are coming here at a certain point in time. The lower, older buildings aren't going to be able to hold all. We're also one of the most expensive cities in America, as is San Francisco and Washington, D.C., I imagine. So there's an inherent tension. If we don't build up, where are they going to go?
I think that's a totally fair question, and I'm so glad that planners and city officials and officials across the region are looking at that question. I think it's the message, I think, of our report is that it's not one or the other. It's not that you have to have all new buildings. It's that the older, smaller buildings play a really important role in having a strong local economy. And if you tear them all down, you're actually going to lose something. So I think it's coming up with a solution that has new development alongside the old.
Michael Poe is Senior Research Manager at the National Trust for Historic Preservation. If you want to see more of the map of Seattle buildings, you can visit preservationnation.org and search for older, smaller, better. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman with Steve Scherer.